Hello, I'm Katie Krause with Valuable. Today we are discussing Presence, Bringing Your Boldest Self to Your Biggest Challenges by Amy Cuddy. To understand presence, it's equally as important to understand what presence is not. Amy wrote, "Our search for presence isn't about finding charisma or extroversion or carefully managing the impression we're making on other people. It's about the honest, powerful connection we create internally with ourselves," end quote. And Amy defines presence as the state of being attuned to and able to comfortably express our true thoughts, feelings, values, and potential. So today we are going to be discussing presence, of course, but we're also going to talk about personal power, the imposter experience, and some of Amy's tips for re-establishing presence in our lives. And the reason I say re-establishing presence is because we all experience presence at times. It's just a moment-to-moment state of being, and our goal is to increase the quantity and duration of present moments in our lives. So presence is very easy to recognize, but kind of hard to convey in words. So when I envision presence, I think of children. You see it in the kid that's dancing in the middle of the bank or unapologetically crying in a crowded restaurant. And we recognize presence in people who aren't afraid to express their true feelings and values. So Amy said that presence manifests itself in two ways. First, when we are present, we communicate passion, confidence, and comfortable enthusiasm. And all of those traits are very difficult to fake, which is why people are drawn to those traits and genuine people that are expressing them. So second, presence is the synchronous self, or being in alignment with yourself. She says, in order for you to feel present, the various elements of the self, emotions, thoughts, physical and facial expressions, and behaviors must be in harmony. So when our words don't match up with our feelings or expressions, we are out of alignment and people notice. And this has happened to everyone. Someone asks what's wrong and you say nothing, or that you're fine, and they call bullshit. And I love the way that Amy said it. It was much more elegantly than what I just did. But she said, when we are trying to manage the impression we're making on others, we're choreographing ourselves in an unnatural way, end quote. And she suggests that we focus less on the impression we are making on others and more on the impression we are making on ourselves. So not to say that you should just become a narcissistic jerk, but typically when you are feeling powerful, confident, passionate, etc., it transfers and it's visible to other people. So how are you feeling? Are you feeling powerless or powerful? And presence requires a personal power. And Amy defines personal power as the ability to control our own states and behaviors. So when we feel powerful, typically we are more focused on what's going right and our own best qualities. But when we feel powerless, we are more focused on what's going wrong, how we feel like we can't change it, or how we're screwing it all up. So in my review of Ask and It Is Given, I talk about our emotional guidance system and how it can show us that we may be more focused on the lack of what we want than what we actually say we want. So our internal focus goes a long way in influencing our behavior. And Amy said, power makes us approach where powerlessness makes us avoid. And speaking of powerlessness, let's talk about imposter syndrome. So imposter syndrome, according to Wikipedia, is referring to high achieving individuals marked by an inability to internalize their accomplishments and a persistent fear of being exposed as a fraud. So Amy calls it the imposter experience opposed to syndrome because it is prevalent among both men and women, and it doesn't discriminate based on achievement levels alone. So although high achieving individuals may feel it more acutely or have more opportunities to feel it, we all have times in our lives where we have had the imposter experience. Basically, you are susceptible to it anytime you feel you have an image to live up to or you're trying to create a good impression. And Amy said, imposterism causes us to overthink and second guess. It makes us fixate on how we think others are judging us, then fixate some more on how those judgments might poison our interactions. We're scattered, worrying that we are underprepared, obsessing about what we should be doing, mentally reviewing what we said 5 seconds earlier, fretting about what people think of us and what that will mean for us tomorrow, end quote. So unfortunately, the self-doubt steals our presence. And presence is the quality that is most likely to help us give a good impression. So we are our own worst enemies. And I talk about this a lot in the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra. So check that book review out if you're really liking and connecting to this concept. But essentially, our fear-ridden beliefs that we might not belong, we aren't good enough, that at any moment people realize how utterly uncool and unqualified we are is the quintessential quintessential imposter experience. And I have to admit, I personally have struggled with the imposter experience many times in my life, but I almost didn't follow through with creating valuable because I thought I wasn't good enough, I wasn't educated enough, entertaining enough, or smart enough to be taken seriously. And fortunately, I had a eureka moment and I realized that I would have to be completely delusional and extremely egotistical to think it was within my capacity to just flawlessly comprehend and convey all of these brilliant authors' ideas. And of course, I still feel a tremendous responsibility to get it right for value members, yet I freed myself from the illusion that I will do it faultlessly and get everyone's approval and agreeance. So often we just want others to approve that we try to present a version of ourselves that we think that they will like and accept. But when we present our polished, phony Facebook self in the spirit of gaining others' approval, we put our well-being and authentic happiness at risk. Think about it. You put your deliberately concocted self out in the world, and you still get rejected, and you still fail, and you think, geez, if my best self, or what you think your best self is, isn't good enough, then the real me will never be. But the hard truth is, you're right. You will never be good enough for everyone. So forget about trying to please everyone and follow your own heart. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "Do what you feel in your heart to be right, for you'll be criticized anyway. You'll be damned if you do and damned if you don't," end quote. So you cannot save yourself from rejection or failure, but your pursuit to do so will certainly prohibit you from real connection and real meaningful achievement. And I truly don't believe that most people go through life completely pretending to be something that they aren't. But I do think that many of us fall prey to living our life concerned with who we should be as defined by others instead of who we actually are as defined by ourselves. So presence is about getting in touch with our true selves instead of endlessly trying to sculpt ourselves into the perfect person while unintentionally carving away some of the realest parts of ourselves just to fit in with people who happen to be doing the same darn thing. So let's move on to some tips for being more present and powerful in our lives. We are going to learn to reframe, reaffirm, remember, and reset, starting with reframe. Basically, we all get nervous and anxious before something that is important to us, like a date or a job interview. So instead of dwelling on that negative fear-based anxiety, we can actually reframe or rename our negative emotion into a positive emotion. So instead of telling yourself that you're anxious and thinking about all the things that you could go wrong, say you're excited and think about all the opportunities. You just shift it to a positive angle. So instead of being angry that your husband's late, reframe and rename to thinking that, you know, you're excited to see him or you're passionate about the time you guys get together. Now, we don't want you to deny your emotions, but just trying to reframe and rename them from negative to positive ones can be very helpful if it fits the situation. Tip 2, reaffirm or self-affirmation is when we get very clear on our best qualities and values. And these qualities don't even necessarily need to be related to the task that you're nervous about. Amy wrote, "Self-affirmation is about reminding ourselves what matters most to us and by extension, who we are. In effect, it's a way of grounding ourselves in the truth of our own story. It makes us feel less dependent on the approval of others and even comfortable with their disapproval if that's what we get," end quote. And I really appreciate Amy's take on affirmations because I think very often people try to affirm things that they don't believe about themselves and then they wonder why they don't get results. Whereas this type of affirmation is just looking at our best traits and qualities, which is going to prepare our attitude and mindset for the journey ahead. Now, 3 is remember. So very similar to reaffirm, but we can also remember back to a time in our lives that we excelled and felt powerful or good at something. Again, it doesn't even need to be related to the activity you're nervous about, but just getting in touch with the fact that you are competent and that you do possess a quality of presence and power will assist you in overcoming whatever lays ahead. Now, 4, reset. And when I say that, I mean reset your posture or posturing for presence. And I just really had to come up with another word that started with re because I had a theme going on and I liked it. So I'm really not going to go into depth into this because Amy covers all of the bases in her TED Talk, "Your Body Language Shapes Who You Are." But essentially, our posture posture doesn't just communicate our feelings to others, it actually impacts how we feel. So if you're feeling weak and powerless, just spreading out and getting bigger, raising your hands triumphantly over your head, or as Amy says, get in the starfish position, you can actually start to feel better. So for 2 minutes, hold a powerful posture and a pleasant expression on your face, and you can actually start to change your mood. So that is it for presence. Remember to reframe, reaffirm, remember, and reset your attitude and posture to bring your best self to the table. And know and start to recognize the freedom in the fact that rejection and failure are inevitable. So you don't you can just stop worrying so much about the impression you're making on others and identify more with the impression you're making on yourself. And I wanted to say that this book was absolutely filled with very interesting studies and research that backed up all of her points. Unfortunately, I just didn't have time to include them today. So go check out her TED Talk, Your Body Language Shapes Your Life. And thank you for joining me. You make it a great day.